So just as the rains and the snow come down from the heavens and make happen what God desires them to bring about, fruitfulness, a product of production, before returning to Him, so too His Word, God's Word, He sends it forth. We look at the book of Genesis and the creation of the world. God says, let there be light. They didn't say, I need three bids for that light. You got the drawings for it? No. God says, let there be light, and there is light. His word is efficacious. His word brings forth, it possesses within itself the power to bring into existence that which is spoken. Jesus is the Word of God. The patristic fathers speak about the Father speaking the Word that is the Son, and the breath being the Spirit, and the Word being the Son. The beautiful Trinity, a communion of three divine persons in one, this very act of the speaking reveals them all. And there is power in the Word. We see in the Gospel text, I chose the shorter version, I hope you understand why, because if not, Jesus would have given the homily and I would have just sat down. You can follow along the rest of the text, but I would rather paraphrase and give the homily. Jesus speaks about a sower goes out to sow. And he sows four different kinds of seeds, right? Good seed, junky seed, moldy seed, and weed seeds, right? No. He sows good seed. And it is the same seed that is sowed everywhere. It is good seed. In itself, it possesses all that is required. When finding a place to be received, it has everything it needs to produce fruit. The seed, the Word of God that is given to you is the same Word of God that is given to all. It is fruitful, it is efficacious, it is beautiful, it is bountiful in and of itself. So why doesn't the Word of God have the same effect in everyone? Well, he talks about that. So the seed that's sowed on the hard path is the Word that is sowed to someone who doesn't have understanding of the Word, doesn't enter in. We speak of people that we know as hard-headed. We can call that as stubborn, but sometimes we use the word hard-headed to mean like, I explained the whole thing to them and they still don't understand. Right? Hard-headedness, a lack of understanding. And there's a timetable on this, because he explains that the timetable is that the Word comes to us and it's there and it's wanting to be understood. It's wanting to enter into the soil. But if we take too long, the evil one immediately comes to snatch it away. He does not want the Word of God to take root within us. And so there's a timetable here. Oh, I'll think about it tomorrow. I got all week, got the week off. There's an invitation to grow in understanding, and so that seed, that word, can find a place within us. He sows seed among rocky soil. So there's soil on the top, but the rocks are underneath, and so it goes down, but then hits the rock, so the roots don't get very far. They don't go very deep. And he speaks about those to which this happens, where there is rocks underneath, that when trial and persecution come because of the word sowed within them, they abandon it. Notice that the trial does not come because of life, because, my brothers and sisters, you are all adults, most of you. You know that life comes with trials. This world, St. Paul says in the second reading, is broken. It is subject to futility. There's going to be trials as a part of life, but these aren't the trials that he's speaking of. Trials specifically because of the word. And a person decides, it ain't worth it. The analogy that I came up with is like, you know, sports teams and our jerseys and our memorabilia that we wear. You know, sometimes you wear it and it's like, they're just not having a good season. And somebody pokes at you because of it and you're like, that's going in my closet and it ain't coming out until they have a good season, right? It ain't worth it. It's not worth the hate and discontent. I mean, you got to love Cubs fans. How many years were they Cubs fans waiting for that World Series victory, right? And they put up with ridicule and they put up with all of that over a ball team. Sometimes we can make that distinction. This ain't worth it. I don't want to identify with that. It ain't worth the heartache. The Word of God sowed in you is not like that, my brothers and sisters. The Word of God that is sowed to you, it's not just an idea, an understanding that we grasp with our mind. The Word of God sowed to you is sowed within your very soul. It is sowed within your very soul to bring about an identity in you. You see, it's one thing when a word comes and we can hang it on the hanger and put it in the closet and take it out when it's a great season and put it back on. It's another thing when the Word of God is sown into you and the desire is that you make it part of your identity. You are revealed in the Word of God. You simply cannot set it aside. And so the trials that come with this new identity by the Word of God being spoken into you is real. But if you do not make it your identity, but it's a t-shirt that you wear when it's convenient, but I don't wear it on Friday nights, I don't wear it on Saturday nights, but I wear it Sunday morning, it will never be what it's supposed to be for you. It's supposed to give to you identity. You ever had those relationships with people when you want to change? You want to do something different? You want to be a different person? And the relationship of the people in your life won't let you? Why is that? It's because you being who you are, their relationship with you is figured out, and they can be who they are. But if you change, the relationship changes, they have to change, and they don't like it. Go back to being who you are. What is this newfound whatever? I know who you are. Go back to being who you were. There is a challenge that often comes with a new identity. But the Word of God spoken to you, my brothers and sisters, it is something, not just an intellectual idea that we have to understand. It doesn't just engage our mind. It engages our heart. The very center of who we are, our very being, is connected into this. It's intended to. So are sowed the seed amongst the weeds and the thorns. The things that are planted in the soil of your life, my brothers and sisters, are they all the same value? We are a very busy culture. And technology is just making it more busy. You can do more things quicker, and so you can fill up more of your calendar with more things to become more busy. I didn't say more human. I said more busy. In fact, it's seemingly taking away our humanity from us. Figure greater and greater freedom, greater and greater liberty, we become greater and greater human beings, but it's not the case. Busyness, all of this stuff in your life, is it all of equal value, equal importance? I hope not. Looking at our life and seeing all this stuff planted in our life, it is time. At times, my brothers and sisters, we got to go through and we got to weed out some junk in our lives. And we got to evaluate, this is not bearing the fruit that I want in my life. It is actually causing me hate and discontent. It's out. There are friendships, my brothers and sisters, You are not a failure if there are certain relationships in your life which you just need to uproot and get rid of. You cannot have 10 best friends. I'm sorry. You're not made for that. You cannot have 10 best friends. But Father, no. Sorry. Not if you want the depth of friendship which is intended for it to be. One. Two. Maybe three. The things of your life are not of equal importance, and the things of lesser importance we know are robbing and taking the richness from our soil. The weeds and the thorns that may be sown into our lives, my brothers and sisters, are competing with the Word of God. Now, the reality is that much of our life, these are good things that are a part of it, but they're not as good as the Word of God that is planted within us. You cannot compare the two. And what Jesus says is that the weeds and the thorns are anxiety and the lure of riches. Those two are connected, right? When you have repairs to do on your vehicle and you don't have the money to do it, anxiety, right? The lure of riches in and of themselves, is that they help us not to be anxious because they can meet the needs that we have. But what happens? We amass enough of those riches in order to accommodate the needs that I have. But what if I have other needs? What if this happens? Well, then I need more riches, just in case. And then if that happens, well, what about this happens? Well, I need more riches. And we all know, right? So people that have a certain number of riches should be perfectly happy and content with no worries or no anxieties at all, right? And yet we know the seemingly opposite effects. After we get to a certain point, it starts going down a slope the other direction. The more riches that we have, the more anxious we are about preserving them, just in case the other greater contingent of just in case and just in case and just in case. The Word of God spoken to you, my brothers and sisters, is supposed to hit those anxieties right in the face. The Word of God spoken into your life has potency. It has power. It is supposed to affect our everyday. So not just our intellect, not just our heart and our identity, but how we act and what we do, and the manner with which we do it, the quality with which we do it. We're not to enter into life in anxiety and worry. The Word of God spoken into our life is to free us from that anxiety and the amassing of things to protect ourselves. The Word of God has something to say to that. And when it enters into our life, we set aside these things that seemingly are of equal value but simply rob the Word of God that is planted within us. Then the sower sows seed on good soil. Good in the sense that it's not rocky. Good in the sense that it's not hard, packed down as a path. Good in the sense that it isn't competing with other things once it's planted. Good soil, prepared soil, ready soil. And when it enters in, this is what's beautiful, okay? The Word of God is intended for you. Did it just blow your mind? It's not something contrary to you. The Word of God, when it finds a place in you, meets everything it needs to grow and to be fruitful. It doesn't say that the seed, the Word of God, is sown in a cow, or a donkey, or a chimpanzee, or a parakeet. The Word of God that we are speaking of is sown in you, and in you, everything that it needs to grow is present. If the soil is prepared to receive the seed, the soil is there. Everything in you is made to receive the word of God. It's not contrary to you. You are the destination of God's word. His plan for all eternity was to speak his word into you. And in you, my brothers and sisters, without any effort on your part, when the seed is planted, it bears fruit. You see, there's something that we get as backwards in our mind. We burden ourselves with the production of fruit. Right? Because, again, we're the busy world, we're preoccupied with all these things world, we're also a productivity world. We judge the value of the process by the end product, the quantity, the quality, all of these things. We're all about the end product, right? All of your evaluations in corporate America and all of these things, what's the end product? It's not how it is with the gospel message. Imagine that. It's not like the world? No, it's not like the world. The word of God planted within you finds everything it needs, and as long as it is there, it grows and it produces fruit without any effort of your part. Your job is not to produce the fruit of the kingdom of God. Your job is to prepare the soil. Okay? So there's work to do, but it is not to produce the fruit in abundance. You preparing the soil and receiving the seed and allowing it to come and be planted within you. The word of God is effective. The word of God will bring about within you the fruitfulness that it is destined to meet you in. Isn't it beautiful? Like the burden of that is gone. My brother says, you do not have to bear the fruit. You just have to be the soil. You just have to be the soil. We're in this year of the Eucharist, so we'll do a little reflection on that. When I give out communion to you, I give out good Jesus to some people, rotten Jesus to some people, moldy Jesus, and weed something to other people, right? Because we see a difference in the efficaciousness in the people's lives. No. The same beautiful, wonderful body and blood, the soul and divinity of Jesus Christ is given to each and every one of us. So then why aren't the fruits the same? Well, it's because I wasn't doing the work. No, no. Do I understand what I am receiving? Do I have understanding of what it is that is coming into this temple of mine? Do I understand what I am receiving? Good, check. That means the soil's loosened up. It's not hard. Number two, rocky soil. Do I identify with what I receive? A week from Saturday, this last Saturday, I'm going to be preaching at a conference in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I got three talks about Eucharistic revival and the presence of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, do you identify with this Eucharist? Do you see in the bread and the wine that has been radically transformed by the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do you see yourself and what God desires to do in and through you by His same Holy Spirit coming upon this gift? Not of bread and wine, but the flesh and the blood that is you. Do you identify with this mystery? Do you identify with the bridegroom who wants to rip open his heart and hand his very self to you? Do you identify as the bride? I don't know what you're talking about, Father. Just receive and I go home. Check. I'm done for the week. I've met my obligation. My brothers and sisters, we have to identify with the Eucharist. See in the offering what we are to offer. See in the receiving who we are and the love of the bridegroom for the bride. You have to identify in the Eucharist. Lastly, What do we got? Weeds. What is the value of this gift? I remember at one of my parishes seeing family coming up for church and then seeing the wife and the daughter going into the church and the son and the dad going and jumping in another car with someone else, all in their Chiefs gear, heading off to doing their tailgating before the Chiefs game. What is the value of what is here, my brothers and sisters? It is the value of a tailgate. I have no problem with going to the Chiefs game, my brothers and sisters. I have no problem with your tailgating. But for crying out loud, you better show up to Mass on Saturday. You better participate in this valuable gift of God Himself for you. Do we see the power that is here? I remember there was a Jesuit priest that was at a conference once, and during the homily, he spoke to us about that we were going to encounter Jesus in the Eucharist. And they're all like, uh-huh. And he's like, no, you don't understand. Today, Jesus is going to be right here, and you're not going to touch the tassel of his cloak, you're going to touch him. He is coming to you, and he is going to touch you. And in his touch, in his presence, is there power, my brothers and sisters? Is the word of God powerful? Can he speak into our lives? Can he transform our lives? Yes, it is all here, my brothers and sisters. And so if we wonder, well, you know, we receive the same Jesus, right? We all receive the same Jesus. What is the problem? Understanding, identity, efficaciousness. We come, prepared the soil to encounter Jesus. That day when I went to receive communion, I was going up to receive communion, I could feel my insides are vibrating. I had no idea what the heck was going on. But the preparation of the homily was preparing me to receive what it is that I've always known. I've always believed. But something was different. There was grace. There was an openness. And I was expectant in my faith to receive what I have always received. And that's for you today. I hope your hearts vibrate within you as you approach Jesus today to participate in the communion, that His Word, that God's Word to you, spoken and made flesh and concrete and given for you, is able to give you identity, to speak to your anxiety and fears, and to touch your lives. God is not like us. We sometimes fill the silence with words for the sake of filling the void. God speaks because He wants to bring about something. And you are made. You are made to receive that word. It's not contrary to your being. He spoke this in being for you. And you are made to receive this word. And this word is living and effective, and it will bring about the transformation within you. Prepare the soil, my brothers and sisters. Prepare the soil and allow God to bring about the fruitfulness that He desires to bring about in you. You do not burden yourself with the fruitfulness. Prepare the soil, receive the gift, and allow Him to grow. Amen.